This morning brings Christ Lutheran to an end of a series on the postures of prayer. And this morning we'll look at intercession, considering that as the theme, with thinking about intercession being like a coming alongside someone, interceding for someone. And it doesn't mean that we have to be right next to, standing right next to each other, but the closeness, there may not be a close proximity for the people for whom we are interceding on their behalf before God. The basis for starting this morning is going to be verse 10 from Matthew chapter 6. The Lord's Prayer, which Jesus taught for us to use. It's the phrase, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So when we hear the phrase, "Thy kingdom come," we may think, oh, second petition, as we may have learned it in the catechism. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," may think third petition, as we also learned it. But as we think about the kingdom coming and as God's will, those are the things, those words are what's going to give us direction as we think about intercession today, that aspect of prayer. The care, the compassion, the concern, perhaps a prayer of correction for someone in need of that. Those are the things for which form the basis for our coming to the Lord in prayer. So, "Thy kingdom come." What comes to your mind when you hear the word kingdom? How would you define kingdom? And this is the opportunity for you to speak. Paul has a microphone so we can all hear what you have to say. Anyone like to venture definition for kingdom?
I think of heaven.
Think of heaven. All right.
Realm.
Good. Both good. Any other? Well, you're right on. You're right on. We'll fill that out just a little bit. But kingdom is the reign of God, the rule of God. And when we think about it, where is it? It's on earth and in heaven. And let me say this. When you hear the kingdom of God, you may also hear the kingdom of heaven. Jesus uses both, and the scriptures use both to define the kingdom. So, "Thy kingdom come," we could use the term kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. So you're right on, Chris, with kingdom of heaven. And the realm. Yeah, God ruling. So, there are three aspects to kingdom. We live here inhabiting planet Earth. There's a kingdom of God here on Earth. In the sense of God rules over all, we call that the kingdom of power. God in control. But as God's people here on earth, there's what we call the kingdom of grace. That is, you here and all those people with whom we confess the creed throughout the world, all Christians throughout the world who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, comprise the kingdom of grace. Doesn't matter which denomination, doesn't matter which Christian denomination people belong to. They are part of God's kingdom of grace here on earth. And then there's the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of glory. That is, those who are already residents of heaven, who were Christians who have passed from this life into eternity. And those of us are waiting for that. But Paul calls us citizens of heaven. We have that title right now. We already have the inheritance of eternal life. So God rules over all three. Kingdom of power here on earth, the kingdom of grace, we sometimes call it the church, the Christian church, and the kingdom of glory. Now, when you think about it, does it seem like God is always in control of the kingdom? Are there some things that are amiss in the world, in people's lives, in climate, in so much of what happens in the world, one country against another? There's plenty of bad stuff in this fallen world that's a result of sin. But that's why Jesus came. And St. Paul speaks of that in verse 5 of the text. There is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. One God, rule over all three kingdoms, and then the mediator, the God-man, who made peace between God and men. That's Jesus. Jesus left his throne in heaven, came down, entered into the womb of Mary, and began to take on skin and bones. A unique individual, a God, man, God and man at the same time, was born for one purpose. He was the ransom for us. We're in slavery of sin in this world. He came to rescue us. And it was his blood shed on a scandalous cross to redeem us of our sins. Through his death, his resurrection, we have forgiven us. We are made new people. We are made to be a part of his kingdom of grace. And we have the inheritance of eternal life. Now, not everyone here on earth is a resident of the kingdom of grace. Kingdom of power, yes, but not the kingdom of grace. And Paul writes that God's desire is that all would be saved, that all would come to the knowledge of the truth, that is, the truth of Jesus Christ. Well, there's a lot involved in that. There are people throughout the world who have never heard. There are people who have heard and yet who reject it. And Jesus talks about that as a harvest field in the world, that the harvest is white and ready to pray, to intercede for workers in the harvest field, to pray for missionaries, Bible translators, pastors, teachers, and other workers. But it's not just those who are professional church workers that are responsible for harvesting. It's all of us. And by the way, you have a a harvester as a professional person, you know, a pastor, but then also Pastor Larry through Summit Mission Alliance, Pastor Dale. You know. So there's that. But all of us, as God's people, by what we say, by how we live, are witnesses for Jesus. And as we care and serve other people, we pray that they will see Jesus Christ in our lives, in our serving, and come to know him through us. So there's a lot to this "Thy kingdom come." We're here interceding, praying that God's kingdom continue to grow here on earth, praying for one another and praying for those who are not yet part of God's kingdom. And then, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, is God's will done here on earth real well? Not quite, is it? There's plenty of things that are wrong. There's all kinds of sin. Is God's will done perfectly in heaven? Yes, very definitely. It's done perfectly in heaven. But what is God's will? I'm going to ask that, and Paul will have the microphone there and too. What is God's will? So I want to hear from you also.
That we love each other.
All right. Love each other. Wow, that's a biggie, isn't it? A challenge sometimes, but really important. Yes.
Roger, that we show the love of Jesus.
Showing the love of Jesus. All right.
We need to be gardeners.
Tell me more about being a gardener.
Well, in the scripture it says that we're to know the soil. And some of the soil that we see in our culture now is asphalt. But you'll find flowers coming out of asphalt if there's a crack.
I like that.
We have to create cracks in what is not very fertile soil.
Very good. That is great, too. The asphalt, and it's a pain when it breaks up, isn't it? Because it's going to be costly to repair. But thinking about that in people's lives who are hardened against Christ, for example, how do we manage to put a little crack in that?
Ask questions.
Asking questions. Yeah, not preaching at them. Not yet. No, not preaching. But asking questions. Probing questions that might... you have an example there for us?
I do. I'm a Gideon. I get to go to college campuses. I didn't mean to bring my soapbox.
But since
Roger asked...
I'll share.
It's all about sharing. We have a tendency as Christians to want to change, to want to fix. We don't even know who we're fixing or how we can fix. I'm on the college campus, and you know what the middle finger salute is. It's a very hostile environment. But when I'm trying to share the love of Jesus, I get mocked, and then I ask, "Hey, where'd that come from?" And then I ask again, "Tell me, what is your belief? What's your major?" And they've said, "Hey, I've never had an old guy like you ever ask me any question. And then I realize we don't know how to relate.
Thank you.
That's my soapbox.
Good. That's great. Thank you for sharing.
I think if we don't know, is this God's will? I feel like that, and this is what my journey, the closer we are to God, the more we pray, the more we are allow God to be present in our lives, because we're the one that pushes God away. God is always there. The closer we are in our relationship with God, in our journey, the more the will of God will be totally clear and to the point of there won't be any question. You'll know. And I think the further away we get from God, the harder it is for us to know what our purpose is.
Okay, very good. So being quiet and listening and so forth. Very, very good, Donna Lynn. Any other comments this morning? Excellent. Appreciate that. So, to find out what God's will is, looking at God's word is helpful, isn't it? But the primary purpose of God's word is to point us to Jesus and the way of salvation. But the secondary purpose right after it is about what we call the law, how we're to live and not to live, what we are to do, not to do, and so forth. And so God's word is filled with that. And we as God's people want to live as his people. Loving, sharing, listening, taking time for one another, and learning how to ask the questions that may kind of prick the bubble of people, the hardness of the heart that they haven't really thought of. And that's enough. That's a whole study that we could pursue. But it's caring for other people now and living our lives in that way. Two of our lessons today, both of our lessons, are beautiful examples of intercessory prayer. So the Genesis lesson, Abraham before God pleading for a city that's pretty wicked, Sodom. And his prayer is that if there are 50 righteous people in Sodom, God, will you spare? Will you spare the whole city? Only 50. Now, I don't know what the population of the city was. But if there are 50, spare it. And God said, yes, I will spare the city. But then Abraham's thinking, oh, 50's a lot of righteous people in Sodom. What about 5 less? 45. Yes. God will spare it. And then Abraham comes back again to God. What if there are only 40? Yes. God, I'm a bother. What if there are only 30? Yes. What about 20? Yes. What about 10? Not very many righteous people in a large city. And again, God agrees. But there weren't even 10 righteous people. But before God destroys the city with fire and brimstone from heaven, he gives Abraham's extended family, the only righteous people in the city, the opportunity to flee. Abraham's a beautiful example of intercessory prayer. Praying for all of the people of Sodom, in a sense, that they're spared too, that they have the opportunity to come back to God. His care, His compassion, His concern is an example for us in our prayers. And then there's the second lesson. Paul encourages us to pray for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions of authority. Note that God doesn't say anything about the type of government. And first of all, kings would, for us, represent president and other positions in high authority in our country. God doesn't say it's based on whether it's a democracy or not. He doesn't say anything about the type, from democracy to dictatorship, anything in between, how good or how evil it might be. Pray for kings and all who are in authority. Well, and the other thing, he doesn't say it's regardless of whether you agree with them or not, whether you voted for them or not, how good or evil they may be, pray. They all, whoever, needs our prayers. So next question. How do you pray for our president and all who are in positions of authority? What's the substance of the prayer? What things do you pray for? Yes.
That they have, that they use wisdom.
Wisdom. Very, very good. It's a great place to start.
That they don't abuse their power?
Don't abuse the power that they have. Asking God to guide them. Good. Yes?
We need, as Christians, that same prayer. How should we pray? Guide us, please.
Yeah, exactly. That's how the petition started, and I was going to, thanks for that segue. It starts out, pray for all people, is how it starts out. So this includes family, your coworkers, your neighbors, fellow students in school, whoever your life touches, intersects with. The same things we say about the president and others in positions of authority apply there as well.
Because it's Thanksgiving time, we have to be thankful with an obedient and an understanding. Around our own tables, there's division.
Okay. And it can make for difficult conversations at Thanksgiving dinner when a family is divided. Yeah, okay. Very good. Very good. Other thoughts about praying for? About safety. Their physical, spiritual, mental. You've mentioned some great things. We want We want the person in power to not be concerned for self, but for all of us, for all the people of a country, right? Because he's not serving a select few, but serving all. Yeah, praying for that wisdom for him to make good decisions. Pray for things that are just and right, that justice is administered, that things are done that are good, beneficial, rather than evil. So many things. And then that goes for family and everyone with whom we live and come in contact. There are a couple of things that Paul said also that are good for us to remember and think about. At the very end, he says, I desire then that in every place the men, it's not just men, okay? It's everybody, should pray lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. When we can avoid that, we can go get a lot further, can't we? And also, he says, I'm going to find the, for all people, kings, all who are in high places, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Those are the benefits for us. So our prayers are always moving toward that end as well. Prayers continue from us for God's kingdom to continue to come to people, the kingdom of grace, that we carry out His will here on earth as it is in heaven until Jesus returns again. And we have the full consummation of the kingdom of glory in eternity. Amen. And now be the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until we are part of the kingdom of glory. Amen.